episode of Father's Day. I'm Destiny Peterson. Today we have a debate between millennials, a liberal, and a conservative. I have with me Lauren Chen, host of CRTV, Roaming Millennial Uncensored. What does it mean, roaming?
That was actually my screen name I started when I first began making videos, and it just had to do with the fact that I moved around so much. Right. So that kind of shaped my perspective of the issues that I talked about.
I also have with me Quincy, and he works in the entertainment industry, and he also worked as a behavior therapist. And you are a liberal.
Absolutely.
Why?
Bleeding.
Bleeding?
Yes,
what
bleeding
does it
liberal.
Mean, bleeding?
It's just a terminology that I often hear from conservative talking heads. I grew up conservative Christian. My family still is. They're Trump supporters. I would attribute my liberalism to growing up on a very diverse cul-de-sac. As a kid from the age of 7, I had white neighbors on one side. I had a Vietnamese family on the other side. I had all different religious sects represented on my street, and they all treated me like a son. So I just grew up feeling very open. As I got older, moving to Los Angeles and being exposed to different cultures, different viewpoints of life, attending different types of churches, from Christian to Jewish to Jehovah's Witness, I kind of just understood that everyone has their own belief structure, and
I
tend to be a little
bit
more open.
You're not a Christian anymore?
I do not subscribe to the Christian religion. I do find value in Christian value structures, but I think they're pretty universal across the board from all religions, so
amazing.
It's not specific to Christianity.
And do you know that real men are not liberals? Real men are conservatives?
I've heard you say that before. Yeah. There's a documentary I would love for you to watch about male masculinity. I think it would open up your viewpoint a little bit more.
In what way?
I think you would better understand yourself, and you'd probably stop espousing the stuff you say about weak men.
Beta! Are you a beta or conservative?
I think that's just kind of ridiculous, Stephen.
But if you are bleeding liberal, you have to be
that doesn't
beta.
Make me weak. That doesn't make me weak, actually.
Why not?
To actually stand for something and not to just go along with the pack actually gives me a lot more strength and than just going along with what my party or my affiliation represents.
And Laura, you are a conservative millennial, right?
Yes.
And what does it mean to be? Have you always been a conservative?
Yeah, I mean, from the moment that I began being interested in politics, which, to be honest with you, my parents growing up, they're pretty apolitical, especially we were in Hong Kong and other parts of Asia at the time, so the politics wouldn't have really transferred over to American, the political scene here specifically. But yeah, for as long as I've been interested, I've always taken the conservative standpoint. And for me, I think that it's really shaped by the idea of personal responsibility. And that idea is really also why I consider myself small government minded.
Yeah.
I would love for everybody to have the ability to, I guess, succeed and be entrepreneurial and things like that. And the U.S. actually has an amazing history and culture of that we just don't see in other places. It's quite a special environment that you guys have here.
You seem so nice and everything. How do you handle those people yelling at you, those liberals, bleeding liberals, yelling at you?
Well, I don't think every liberal is going to yell at people. And for me, it's taken, a lot of practice, but I guess being able to just separate what someone is feeling emotionally versus kind of perceiving it always as a personal attack, because, I mean, these issues, they affect people, so people are passionate about that, I understand that. But at the same time, when someone is able to be respectful and, kind of dial it down a little bit, I think that, for the most part, tends to maybe facilitate conversation a little bit more. But being someone a little bit more quiet, it is something that I've had to adjust to, like all of the energy surrounding politics.
I know you live in Canada, and Canada just legalized the whole country pot.
Yes.
So you got a bunch of potheads running around. What's that like?
We had them before. I think that's how the law got passed in the first place. Personally, it's not going to affect my life at all. My social circle doesn't partake either. I'm very much for decriminalizing marijuana. I don't think there's enough evidence that legalizing it completely would be a good idea. And I mean, for Americans who are looking at Canada, I think you guys have the benefit of sort of looking at us as a social experiment. How is this going to affect things?
Because we just ignore it, though.
Yeah,
that's fine.
We have a huge PSA campaign right now, trying to educate people more about marijuana use, trying to educate people who are underage, because while your brain is still developing, it's really, really not good to be smoking. And also trying to explain to people that, hey, just because it's legal doesn't mean you can just get in a car and start driving, because it still impairs you. So we're in Canada trying to cope with all of that right now.
Do you smoke pot?
No, I actually have never.
You've never?
No.
You smoke pot?
Absolutely.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
And why do you smoke it?
Mostly just for social, and then also just for personal medical reasons.
Personal medical reasons? Mm-hmm. And do you agree with me that pot destroys the mind and puts you in a state of unconsciousness? You're not at your best.
I think it actually can be quite enlightening.
You're not as aware as you are when you're not on pot.
Actually, I find myself to be far more aware when I'm on pot than when I'm of sound mind.
Really?
Yeah.
And have you smoked some today?
I have not. But I will partake after I leave here.
Okay. Do you believe human beings are in a fallen state?
I wouldn't say that it's fallen. I think we've always had issues with humanity. I would say that a vast majority of it has to do with religion and people of power trying to force religion upon people. That has been part of the destabilizing nature of humanity. So
you blame religion for people being in a fallen state?
I think it contributes vastly to the instability that we have around the world, to our...
Do you believe religion does?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I would definitely agree that humans are in a fallen state, both as a whole and as individuals. And in regard to how religion plays into that, I think we've seen that if there's one constant throughout history, like one factor that can be true, it's that humans will wage war, humans will be deceitful, humans will try to exploit power. Historically, I think we can't deny, especially when looking at something like the Catholic Church, a lot of people have been more than happy to take up the reign of religion in the name of, you know, their own self-interest. But I think it's important to be able to separate the concept of religion and the individual or the group's search for truth, search for enlightenment, and the larger power structures that ends up being formed into, right? Because I think as Christians, we should be very aware and cognizant of the fact that, you know, historically, whether it's selling indulgences or just the, I guess, seizing land from indigenous peoples, the church has done, Catholic Church in this case, has done a lot of things that weren't very Christ-like. But in my opinion, that's not indicative of any and all religions. And it's no more the truth that religious institutions can be bad sometimes than it is that government institutions can be bad sometimes.
So do you believe that religion is the solution to the fallen state or the cause of the fallen state?
It depends what you mean by religion. Like, I am a practicing Christian. When I hear the term religion, I often think of something like dogma. To me, religion should be more about a personal relationship with Christ. So if you're asking for the solution to the fallen state of man, then the only one is a personal relationship with Christ.
Not but a church state, right?
The church, theocracy?
Like, yeah, not having government that is dictated by one's religious beliefs.
Right, I'm pro separation of church and state, but as individuals, we absolutely that need that connection, which I wouldn't even call religious so much as spiritual, right? Religion, it has that overarching theme of authority, which,
there's,
you know,
not
I'm,
one thing this conservative has said that I've disagreed with thus far. I just want to make note of that.
And I'm stunned. So you don't believe that religion is the solution to the fallen state?
I believe that Jesus is the solution to the fallen state. Someone who used to be Catholic and is now a born-again Christian, when I hear people talk about religion, it often sounds like big government equivalent of church.
Why does it sound that way?
Can I answer why?
Is it because the liberals, the children of the lie, have made it that way? Why does it sound that way to you as a Christian? It doesn't sound that way to me.
Yeah, so because when we talk about is religion...
separation of church and state, because look what has happened.
So you don't believe in the Constitution?
Look what has happened.
It's actually not in the Constitution.
Right.
The principle of separation of church and state is very much so It's in the freedom of in the First Amendment. It's very much so part of what the United States is founded
well,
on.
Well, the First Amendment does say that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, but the phrase specific about separation of church and state was actually something
the foundation of America
that was
is
made up by the children
the
of
separation
the
of
and look what happened when
state.
They took religion out of government. It went to hell in a handbasket.
Well, I'm someone who believes that as Christians we should be very informed by our faith when it comes to who we vote for, what kind of things we support on a variety of issues. Would I support the state legislating, yes, you must be Christian? No, and that's simply because that's not how Christians are made, right? You can't legislate someone into Christianity. So to try that would just be unsuccessful. And I think if we look
but you should legislate people's personal choices, whether it be marriage and or their gender preference, by the state?
Oh, I actually don't think the government
based in religious ideology.
I actually don't think the government should be involved in marriage at all. I actually don't think it's the role of the government to recognize social contracts in that way.
America, take note. Like, this is what it looks like to be a sensible conservative. Like, she's not.
Do you feel like something is wrong now with what you're saying? Now that he said that, he agrees with you.
Why is that not the objective? Is to get to a place of agreement, or is it just about always arguing?
Do you feel like you may be wrong?
I don't think I would be wrong specifically because someone else is agreeing with me, but as someone who is a small government conservative, I don't think anything I've said is against the principles of small government.
I just have to speak on this. Like, your whole premise of what you just said is the whole reason why we have the dysfunction we have in our country now, because no one sees value in agreement. And that's what this should be about. It should be about, there's always going to be polar opposites in every facet of life. So whether you are conservative or you are liberal, there is an in-between point. There is a lot more that we agree upon than we disagree. And especially people that are in positions that speak to masses of people, such as yourself, the goal should be finding consensus and not just figuratively taking dumps on one side, praising another, and leaving it at that. That should not be the objective.
Should we agree with you even when you're wrong?
Right and wrong is very relative. Like, what might be right for you may not be right for me. What might be wrong for me may not be wrong for you. There is no definitive on what a person chooses to do with their life. If it affects someone in a negative, then we can have that conversation. But if it has no effect, such as who I choose to marry, has zero effect on your life, you don't pay any of my bills, we don't sleep together, we are not in any type of social setting together. So why you would feel the need to support politicians that want to use their faith as a basis of implementing policy that affects my personal life, I don't agree with that whatsoever. Now, if you don't believe in gay marriage, don't get gay married. If you don't believe in homosexuality, don't have sex with other men. But it is not for you to decide through government and the people you elect to decide what is right for me.
Amazing. So should we agree with you when you're wrong?
No, you should state your case, back it up with something, and then we can have that conversation.
But we should not
agree. There's certain things we're never going to agree upon, and I'm okay with that.
We should not agree with you when you're wrong, right?
That would be asinine. If you don't genuinely agree with something, right, then you say...
What we do. The Christians don't agree with you when you're wrong. And you people get mad.
But that's fine. Leave it for yourself.
You
don't have to have a public debate about it.
You get mad and angry because we don't
agree. Right, because
it
leads to people being, their livelihoods being oppressed. There are real life consequences for the things that people espouse out of their mouth. Their real lives affected by it. Up into death. There are kids killing themselves currently. There are transgender people being murdered by men who have not come to terms with their own sexuality, who are married to women but go seek sex elsewhere.
What do they have to do with
who have so much hate and fear in their own hearts that they are willing to take the life of another person?
No, they have committed suicide because they're wrong.
No,
and
that's
they know that
that's
wrong,
absolutely that's absolutely
and,
asinine.
And they have a lot of guilt about being wrong.
That is
that's why
as,
they need
as a,
Christians
as
to
a
show
gay
them,
man. That is absolutely
that's
false.
That's why they need Christians to show them
no,
how to overcome.
Trust
them.
Me, I sat in
Are
the church. I used to go to church with my boyfriend.
Are you a homosexual?
So we sat and we cried and we praised hallelujah, just like you do.
Are you a homosexual?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually bisexual. I still enjoy women on occasion. Yeah.
So isn't that why people in a fallen state need Christianity?
I'm not fallen. I'm actually much more enlightened than you are.
So that they can see how to overcome that lifestyle or whatever it may
be. There's nothing to overcome.
Don't they need Christian Christ to
you should reconcile while you have
on,
such an issue
hold
with homosexuality.
Well, I think something that Christians need to realize is that when Christians talk about this lifestyle is sinful, this whatever, I think people get the impression that Christians think they're living a perfect lifestyle and that everyone else needs Jesus, but they don't because they're so perfect, which is actually exactly not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are all equally before the Lord fallen. Right, and that means that everybody, I don't care if you're a pastor, I don't care if you're a drug addict on the street, we all need him the same amount, which is a heck of a lot. So I think when Christians are approaching people, we need to realize that we can't legislate them into behaving the way we should, and nor would we want to, because that's not what Christ wants. That's compulsion, that's not act of service because you love somebody. Like, we should be willing to follow Christ because we love him, right?
Go ahead. I was gonna say what actually be
so
more courageous
and
demonstrate.
Let me just ask this question.
Yes, absolutely.
So do you agree with me that people who are in a fallen state need Christianity
to show them how
to overcome it?
So we're accepting the premise that people are in a fallen state?
They are.
Okay.
Until they overcome it. But let me ask, do you agree with me that people who are in a fallen state need Christianity so that they can show them how to overcome it?
Right. I mean, I think that's true about everybody. That's regardless of your lifestyle.
But for people in particularly who are in a fallen state.
Yeah, but in particularly is not what the Bible says, right?
It is not for you to help me to overcome anything.
I don't help
cheating men overcome their cheating ways.
Well, I know you don't.
Like,
you're in a fallen
it has nothing
state,
to
man.
Do with my. It has nothing to do with me.
I know. Hold
so
on.
So why do you feel?
I'm gonna come to you. I'm gonna come to
please.
You.
Please.
Well, I want to
restate the question.
Sure.
Do you agree with me that this is why Christianity is so important to help those who are in a fallen state overcome?
Christianity is important for everybody to overcome their own sins. And there's actually something that I took from my time as, you know, growing up Catholic, is I have sinned in my words, what I have done and what I have failed to do. So, you know, this whole idea of like this lifestyle specifically is sinful. Everything that we do, like the unkindness in our hearts, the judgmental attitudes in our hearts, that's all something that needs to be addressed. So I think when we go up to specific people and saying, like, you are living the sinful lifestyle, you're the one that needs Jesus, it downplays the fact that we all do. And so our job as Christians is not to go up to people and say, this is bad, what you're doing is bad. It's to say, hey, fellow sinner with whom I share faults with,
Lauren,
this is
just,
how
do you
we
disagree
can,
with her,
Lauren,
a fellow
let me,
conservative?
Let me re, I'm black and slow. So let me restate it.
Wow.
The question.
Why do you hate black people so much?
Do you agree with me that because people are in a fallen state, they need Christianity to show them how to overcome the fallen
just
state?
Just tell
do
him
you,
no, because it's
do
absurd.
Do you agree with me on that?
No, she doesn't.
I'm understanding your question, is that do we need Christianity?
She just
yes,
thoroughly explained.
We,
I'm
sorry?
Thoroughly
do we
explained
need Christianity? Yes, we all need.
So people who are in the fallen state need Christianity.
I.e. everybody.
So that they can overcome.
Yeah, everybody.
Okay. Well, I said people. I asked the people who are in a fallen state.
Right, which is
because
everybody.
Not all children of God. Children of God are not in a fallen state.
Right, because we have that Christianity.
How do people
because,
go to church every Sunday and
not
are
because
so,
we're perfect.
Are so hate-filled? Like, what is Jesus doing for those folks? I don't understand, because I guarantee if he were to come back, he would not recognize the church as at its present state. And if he waited after all these centuries for this group of folk,
you know why he would not recognize the church today? Because
you guys do not represent him.
It's controlled by beta males.
If he does exist,
beta,
you don't represent him.
Do you agree?
You're too
so,
much.
Lauren, as a son of daughter of God, are you still in a fallen state?
I'm not as so long as that I'm able to accept the atonement, right? And that's the thing. Like, I feel like perhaps you're trying to equate Christianity with works, but we know that it is not by works that we are saved, right? So we really do need to place all of our faith in Jesus. If by, you know, fellowship with him, we become more Christ-like in our actions toward others, toward our church, that is a good thing, but that is not the judgment that we should be judging Christians on. It's like, oh, you're acting good, therefore you are a Christian. You're acting like this, therefore I think you're not a Christian and fallen. We are all in that fallen state.
So men and women who are sons and daughters of God, are they still in a fallen state?
If they are sons and daughters of God, no, that because they have that relationship and that communion with Christ.
So they're not in a fallen state once they become sons and daughters of God.
Insofar as they accept the atonement.
All right. I don't know what that mean, atonement?
Christ's atonement.
What does that mean exactly?
John 3:16, so God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
And so when you do that, you're no longer in a fallen state because now you're a son and daughter of God, right? And at that point, you're starting your journey on living a more Christian life. Do you have a responsibility or
it's
duty
not automatic.
To be an example for those who are still in a fallen state to see the way out?
Well, I think our duty at that point is to share the gospel, the good news that Christ loves you. And if you are, you know, willing to accept that communion with him, then you can become part of that family. But our job is...
You can overcome that fallen state?
Right.
Okay. You agree with that?
Absolutely not. I don't even accept your premise, so no.
Why do you not agree with that, that once you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can overcome that?
Because for
state.
Someone else, it might be accepting a completely different deity. That's not
but
what's
that
really relevant.
Not
what's relevant
them.
Is what type of person you are while you exist on this earth. That's what's relevant. And if your Christianity leads you to be a good person with love and acceptance for humanity,
can you be good without believing in
absolutely.
In Christ?
Absolutely.
What do you say about that?
I mean, if we're talking about the state of the individual, then I believe we're all perfect. None of us is truly good. But can people who are atheists be kind and compassionate toward other people? Yes.
Can you be good without believing in Jesus Christ?
Are you saying then that there are no good Jews then? Like, what are you saying?
Lauren, can you be good without believing in Jesus Christ?
We cannot be perfect without believing in Jesus Christ. No.
We're not gonna ever achieve perfection.
On our own, yeah.
Through Jesus or not.
How about can you be good without believing in Jesus Christ?
We can do good acts.
Can you be good without believing in Jesus Christ?
Yes. So I feel like your statement.
Drill you down till you tell him yes.
Because he just gave this impression to the audience that you can be good without believing in Jesus. By believing in some other identity.
So do you agree that if you do not believe in Jesus, you are not capable of being a good person? Is that what you're...
I'll respond to it in a minute, but let me get my...
That's the thing. Like, I don't believe any of us is can truly and blamelessly, flawlessly call ourselves a good person.
Oh, I'm a great person.
Can individuals do good things regardless of their faith? Yes, but as Christians,
said that
should
you
we...
be good without believing in Jesus. Do you agree with that?
I think you can be as good a person without believing in Jesus as you can with it, but that's not the standard we are called to. We are called to perfection, and as humans, we cannot achieve that without Christ.
You cannot be good without Christ.
No. Well, in the sense of perfection, right? Like, the word good is so, like, if I give someone charity, I'm being good in that moment, right? That's
not necessarily, because you can give to a person and it's the wrong time to give. You could corrupt them or spoil them or make them work. Like, black people depend on the welfare, right?
Right, but I feel like when you tell atheists that they can't be good without Christ, what they're thinking is, or what they interpret that as, is that they can't love their family because they're Christian, that their relationships with their friends means less because they're Christians,
Let me interject. Okay. So. For a Christian mother and father to abandon the child, I'm going to just stick with the homosexuality thing since we're on the topic.
But there's more
out
there than homosexuality.
Just answer this question for me. A Christian parent who disowns their child, is that a good act? Is that something that God would show reverence to?
A Christian parent would not do that.
I see it every day.
But those are not real Christian parents. They may be Christian in
name. And we can go down the list,
Let me answer the question. They might be Christian in namesake, but they're not true sons and daughters of God.
Like Donald Trump.
What about Trump?
Like most Republicans in power? Christians by namesake, because it's convenient.
I would probably agree with that. Most Republicans are probably not actually Christian.
Right.
Like, yeah.
They're doing it because it's politically convenient.
But half the population will go vote for them regardless to what they actually stand for. They're not free thinkers. They're stuck.
Amazing.
Like yourself.
Let me just
not
say,
open to actually receiving new information.
Let me just say for you.
To have a different thought.
Let me tell you this so you know.
Yeah.
There's no way on earth or heaven that you could be good without God.
You can hold on to that ridiculous belief.
And God is
the
only true God. There are imitations out there who are pretending to be
Christianity is an imitation. There are far more religions that predate Christianity that have the same exact stories.
No man is good.
Same exact stories.
Am I right about that?
No man.
If you're going to say you're a Christian, at least know where Christianity stems from.
Am I right about that?
That no human being
is good, right?
Yeah, but actually, what I find interesting about Christianity is that, like you said, these are stories that are actually not exclusive to Christianity. If we talk about the idea of resurrection, the idea of atonement, I believe these are themes that are universal.
Which is based in astrology.
Well, I mean, I think it speaks to the fact that they're universal, they're eternal, and it's
the stars, in my opinion, kind of enhances their importance. Continue, yes.
Right, where like this is the need for atonement is something that human beings have been talking about for millennia. I think it's because we recognize the fact that we are imperfect, and we have been searching for that answer, that solution, for as long as we've been around.
My real issue with Christianity is that it, by default, teaches people to not be accountable for their own lives.
That's not true.
When it is very true. I grew up in the church. Trust me, I know what
but
I'm talking about.
That's not
about.
True.
It is very true.
You had a bad church, but that's
No. No.
Christianity, as a matter of fact, Christianity is the only religion that says that you must repent.
Believers do not take accountability for their actions and behavior.
I know no other religion that does that. Now, you
there's a lot that the Republican Party and Donald Trump especially needs to repent for. That's never going to happen.
The Republican Party is not Christianity. It's a political party.
That represents... Isn't your whole premise of your beginning statements were whether or not, in essence, the nation should be a Christian state?
It is a Christian nation.
It's not.
But people, you are basing it on
there,
the people.
There may be a majority of Christians.
You can't judge Christianity based on the people.
And in my opinion, you don't judge Christianity
based on the people that practice it?
Right. I would see Christianity as a philosophy and as a theology, but Christianity is also a culture and community. In my opinion, I think it is important to separate that.
I don't understand your logic, like how you formulate your thoughts. I don't get it.
I'm telling you the truth.
No, you're just making blanket statements as if they're fact.
And yeah, they are.
You're not giving any type of context to what you're saying.
What is it that you don't understand?
Continue.
So I think like there are absolutely fair criticisms to be made of Christians, and I think when Christians read the Bible, they often like to pick and choose what they put their emphasis on. If I would hear Christians spending at least one tenth of the time that we talk about, I don't know, something like. For example, gay marriage, as we had something like gluttony, something like selfishness, something like failing to be modest, then I think that, like, because the Bible doesn't rank sins like the way that we do right now, and I think the fact that Christians like to make themselves, okay, I'm going to talk about this because this is what I think is most important, therefore it's what God thinks is most important, that's inaccurate.
Can we talk about policy as it relates to something else,
but let me just ask. If radical homosexuals were not imposing themselves upon
society, upon
Christians, would Christians be fighting back in such a big way? It's not like the Christians are looking for them. The radical homosexuals are going after the Christians and trying to change the church, and, bring their secular ideas into the church, into families. And so you have Christians
by asking Christians
back.
To do what Jesus
and
asked of them, which was to love thy brethren regardless.
And so if radical homosexuals were not imposing on Christians, would there be this big battle going on? Lauren first, and then you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that, hey, what if some of this is self-defense? We feel like we're being attacked, and so we need to. And yeah, I'm not against Christian activism in any way, but I think it's important that we don't let ourselves become wrapped up in like political debates as Christians to the point where we overlook the larger, broader message of the gospel.
So you agree then that the radical homosexuals are imposing on families, Christian families, they want to change the order of the family, want to impose it on their gay sons and daughters.
So
you don't see gluttony.
What an encroachment upon your life.
Well, let's be more specific here. Like, what policies specifically are you talking about? Because any regulations where they would be able to like go into a Christian school and say you must do that, I oppose that. I am. Very strongly for freedom of religion, and if freedom of religion is being attacked, of course, as Christians, we should speak out about it. I think in some ways it is, but like again, that can't get in the way of our larger, our larger mission of proselytizing.
So should I feel attacked if I'm going to the subway and there's Christians espousing their gospel on megaphones? Like, should I feel attacked by their actions?
No.
So just
because
simply
they have
speaking
the freedom
up
to do that.
Exactly. So, but on the flip, you're going to say that radical homosexuals are attacking straight people.
They are.
Because we're speaking up for ourselves.
No, you're trying to impose it. You're
no,
not.
No, it's not imposing.
For example, homosexual
there's a difference
marriage,
between there's a
marriage.
Difference between stepping up and saying, "Hey, I'm a homosexual, and I'm worthy of love."
But no one cares.
Obviously, you do because we're still having this conversation.
But if you didn't impose it on the Christians,
okay.
They would go about their lives.
That's
you would
absolutely
go about
not
your
true.
Homosexual
that's
marriage,
absolutely not true because you
you impose that upon the course. You try to force Christians to accept that. Rather
just in the same way that
there,
black people forced
thing,
themselves upon
married,
white people
no
because
cares.
They spoke up about so having rights in this country?
So what? Repeat that.
What I said was, so is that the same as stating that black people were imposing upon white people
what
when,
does
we,
black have to do
when we stood up when we stood up for our rights?
What does that have that has,
in
that's
this
not
country.
The same conversation.
It is actually the
no,
exact same conversation.
Homosexuality is not about civil rights, it's not about love. It's not about what, family. What,
define
it's about
civil rights.
Sex.
Define civil rights.
It's about
it's not
sex.
About sex. That's where you're mistaken.
No, I'm not.
You can never speak
do
on it because you're not a homosexual
it's
man.
About sex.
You can never speak
well,
on it
I
because
mean,
you're not a homosexual
the,
man.
The, and this is
the
my
can you accept
made,
that?
Hold on. The thing that made a lesbian is that a female has sex with another lesbian
well,
female.
Sexual
what
preferences
makes a homosexual
are
man
about
a
sexual
homosexual.
Preference, but because if I can
it,
if I can interject my small government
sex,
viewpoint in this, the reason
sex?
Why I understand the whole gay marriage debate is that I don't believe, again, the government should be involved in marriage at all. But because it is, there are a lot of other things that relate to the marriage contract, as it were, that come outside,
is.
That come outside of, like, love is love, whatever. Like, marriage contracts are about government recognition of a relationship. And that can affect your inheritance. That can affect hospital times that you're allowed to visit each
it's
other. That
true.
Can affect. Yes, it
no,
can affect.
You can, write a per, you can write a contract to say, when I die, I want Lou Ella to get all my stuff.
Yeah, if you're someone
when
who actually has a will.
And
if you actually have a will,
care,
but it's not automatic,
hospital,
right? That's
I
why marriage exists from the government,
when
right?
When I'm in the hospital, I need
same
hospital
same with, like,
care.
Healthcare. If you want to
but
bring someone
saying,
on your healthcare.
They don't need a law for that. They can write a contract. And
can you give me your definition of a civil right?
I want to go quickly back to this trouble. I mean, this question. Do you agree with me that what makes a man or a woman a lesbian or a homosexual is that they have sex with the same sex.
Sexual preferences are about sexual preferences.
Right.
Yeah, I think
and
we would
all
agree on
love,
that.
And it's not about love, it's not about family, and it's not about civil rights. Do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, no, because the Greeks actually have several different types of love, one of them being specific to, like, romantic love, eros, and that is something that would, like, yeah, so the gay relationships are based around that type.
They teach this in liberal schools.
And where are the Greeks now?
The Greeks?
Who did you say?
The Greeks in general, just the different types of love.
Where are
so
they now?
They're
yes,
still
because they
country.
Embraced homosexuality, their civilization went to hell. Yeah,
I rest my case.
Yeah,
I rest my case.
So
you
guess what?
Well.
So then America is on a decline to going straight to hell. Then right?
So what?
Based on your so then America is on its way straight to hell. Then
not
well,
now.
No, but I'm trying
what
to explain why the whole
homosexuals
gay marriage
have
debate.
Homosexuals have taken
if
over.
Government
have
is going to be in marriage,
you can't
why?
Turn on the TV without seeing one.
Repeat that.
I'm saying, well, that based on what you're saying, then America is basically going straight to hell because you can't turn on the TV without seeing, you know, the influence of gay people.
But that's starting to
so
change.
So if America has
that's
embraced homosexuality, if they could fight in our military, which they didn't destroy like as conservatives said that it would, gays who have gotten married hasn't destroyed and corrupted the family. It's actually improved and made families much better. You should thank us, straight people, for adopting the children that you guys give up.
No, that's not a good idea.
No, it's a great idea because
no,
someone
not.
Has to take care of them.
No,
someone
no,
has
no.
to show them
that's
love.
That's a bad idea.
No, it's actually
think,
a great idea.
Do you think radical
it's a great
homosexuals
idea.
Should be able to adopt?
Absolutely.
I think that
there's not enough straight people to take care of all those kids.
Do you
so, yeah.
think they should adopt?
I think that couple should be able to adopt if they've
no, we,
if
no,
they
we're not
hang on.
About a couple.
I think
we're
two people
radical.
Should
she's
be able to.
She's not the kind of conservative you're looking for.
So. I think yeah. I think two people should be able to adopt if they demonstrate the things that psychologists have
no,
de-
I didn't
for
ask
decades.
About two
hey,
people.
I know, but I'm answering the question.
Why don't you answer my question? Well, you're such a nice lady. Why don't you answer my question? Don't be like him.
Yeah, because I don't because
do
the premise of radical.
Are you a Christian?
Right, because the premise of radical homosexuality, like I don't know what that means to you.
He doesn't know what it means either.
Right.
Amazing.
Right, but I
amazing.
If, I think it's our job as Christians to take children in, and I don't think a Catholic church
about
should.
Christians, I say radical homosexuals.
Right, but I don't know what that means to you.
Those that impose their lifestyle on Christians.
Can you give any examples as to how, like, any anecdotes to how radical gays impose on straight people?
Same-sex marriage.
Is that not two people deciding for themselves?
They want to teach it in the
school. How does that impose on anyone sitting in this room?
I'm asking a question.
I'm actually against when it comes to schools. I don't think there should be these discussions for young children. I'm very much against that. I think in a lot of ways.
Why? Young children know.
Do they know the?
And if they had parents that actually fostered acceptance and tolerance, then they would come out much sooner.
It wouldn't have to be 25 years old,
twice divorced with five kids.
Teaching it in the schools because I don't believe that it would be taught.
This is why she against teaching it in school.
Yeah, I don't think it would be taught in a way that is, you know, fostering of merely just acceptance and openness and tolerance and love, which are Christian values that I would support for anybody. It's not as Christians, it's not up to us to say you are not deserving of our love, right? So that, you know, if that's about what it is, then I'd be fine. I believe that parents should take it upon themselves to teach their children that for anybody. That way, you know, regardless of the race, religion, whatever, we don't have people who are just totally awful to, you know, their fellow man. That's important. But when it comes to specifically what we teach in school, I think that there are political ideologies that are taking over to the point that it goes beyond, like, what is just acceptance and love. And I worry that we are introducing certain concepts to kids when they are too young to understand. Like the issue of transgenderism, for example. Gender dysphoria is a medically recognized thing that some people go through.
Do you believe that?
What
she just stated?
Are you saying
gender
that
dysphoria is
meaning that is a mental illness that needs to be dealt with?
Yeah, I mean we could call it that. Yeah, I mean obviously.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is a mental illness.
Right, and if someone's experiencing that, then obviously, like, as their brothers and sisters, families and friends, we need to be there to support them, etc.
Meaning not support them and accepting it as a norm, but to show them how to overcome it, right? Right, Lauren?
Well, I mean, when it comes to,
Lauren,
okay,
what
so the thing.
What's wrong with you?
Well, what
you
gender like, dysphoria?
Sir,
your Christianity is.
Sir, do you recognize that all of the
amazing
existence of humanity that gays
on,
have always existed,
here,
that transgender people
wait, hang
always
on,
existed?
Let me ask you
there's
this.
Been
do
nothing
you,
that has ever changed that. And you could pray and wish
hold
it away
on
all you want to.
Hold
it's
on,
not going to change.
Do you,
so the
do
better
you
thing to do
that
for society
man,
is
do you
to
believe
accept
that
it.
The brain of a man and the brain of a woman is different?
Yes.
I very much believe that the brain of a man and the brain of a woman is different. Therefore, I'm open to the idea that because of some, like, a medical mishap, that there's...
Why does it have to be a mishap?
Because
God makes no mistakes...
Because it deviates from the norm in the same way
that
polio is a mishap, or the same way that it's deviating from the norm, and the people who go through this, it's very hard for them. It's something that you know, if has driven people to medications and to surgery. So I think it's fair to say, and this is not a normative you're a bad person thing, but it's not the norm, right?
But that doesn't make it wrong.
No.
It doesn't make it.
If it's not normal, it's wrong.
But would you say autism is wrong?
He
yes
would.
Hmm.
You are
okay,
abnormal situation.
Right, but
so it's
abnormal.
Wrong.
Yeah, but wrong is a normative, like, form of judgment. But it's abnormal, obviously.
Are you at all open to thinking a different thought about that? Because, like, I work with the autism population.
I do too.
You shouldn't be.
What?
You
okay,
shouldn't
but,
be.
But back to the issue.
Why not?
Back to the issue of transgender.
You just communicated via your,
but
your
I believe
multiple
they
platforms
can overcome it.
That. It is not something to overcome. Learning skills, like we all need to learn skills to get along in this world that
it's
we live in.
It's just another trauma that you can overcome. You can, Lauren, do you believe that all things are possible through Christ? You can overcome anything.
Including your ignorance?
Lauren,
can you overcome anything
through Christ?
I don't think you can overcome.
Because I'm gonna be praying that God gives you some revelations
that's
about
that. Like Christ doesn't promise us perfect health. Christ doesn't promise us a perfect body. What Christ promises us is redemption and salvation, which I believe is possible.
You
but
both
he's
of which
not.
You need.
He's not. He's not a magic genie where we can, you know, just say, hey, like, I'm missing an arm. I need an arm because that's not something we're requesting through Him out of our love and service to Him. That's something
that
we're requesting for ourselves.
You can overcome all things through Christ.
But not if we're not talking about all things, we're talking about autism
but
specifically.
All things is all things.
A person who learns to function.
I just want to hold on 1 minute. I don't want to come to you because I want to ask you about the great white hole.
I don't think we have the right to ask Christ to overcome autism. Autism isn't something to be overcome.
So as a Christian,
it's not something to be overcome. It's something that some people have, but it's like, I mean, that's like saying like, can I need to overcome?
Give me a yes or no.
My shortness through Christ.
Do you believe?
She's not your type of Christian, sir. She's the type of Christian I actually applaud and have respect for.
Does that make you nervous to hear that?
No, it shouldn't.
I will rush back in my prayer closet.
No. Your prayer closet.
Oh Lord, if this guy is
your
like
prayer closet is doing nothing for you, sir.
What have I said that's against the good news?
Let me go
for
back
example,
to
specifically,
let me go back
what
to
you
was,
you put so much toxic stuff out there that like trust me, if Jesus did come back, you were not going to be going along for the ride with him.
Jesus is here already.
Nah, are you like this is
so
these are
you,
serious
Lord.
Serious topics and you just like throw out these remarks for a laugh like.
Lord, let me
ask.
Yeah,
but like that, what you're saying sounds a lot like the prosperity gospel.
Do you believe that we can overcome all things for those who believe in Christ? Is it possible to overcome all things if you believe in God?
Yeah, anything that we are capable, anything that we could overcome, we can overcome
Lord,
through Christ.
You're not answering my question.
I am answering the question. Jesus is not your genie. Jesus is not something you can just, you know, hey, oh, I don't want the autism.
Nor is he your scapegoat to justify the awful things that
I'm
so-called
Christian
people
this
do.
Person. Do you believe, for those who believe in God, you can overcome all things? Give me a yes or no. A simple yes or no so I can move on.
Can you overcome
for
your prejudice
who believe
of black
in God,
people?
Do you believe that you
do you
can
pray to ask God to enlighten you
things?
About what it is to be black in America?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that Christ will allow us to become, to heal autism.
No,
it's not something
not,
to
I
be
didn't
healed.
Ask about that.
Yeah,
I'm
but
not,
that's my answer and I'm leaving it at
no,
that.
But
I've answered plenty.
Autism.
I'm not going to, no.
As a believer,
she thinks you're about as ridiculous as I think. Like,
is that true?
It's really sad. Like,
I think what you're saying is ridiculous in regard to autism.
That you cannot overcome all
I came on the show to see for myself if, like, you really genuinely, like, believed what you espouse. If you at all cared about actually, like, civic dialogue and actually, like, having a real conversation. But it's very clear to me that all you care about is espousing your twisted views to as many people that will pay attention to you.
Amazing.
And it's really sad.
Let me ask you about
the fact that you get invited to important panels to discuss important topics. It's really like, it's really sad state of affairs that we find ourselves in.
If I agree with you, would it still be sad?
It's not about you agreeing. It's about you having a willingness to have an actual conversation and to be able to, you can't have a debate, a so-called debate, and not be willing to walk away thinking something that you didn't go in there thinking.
If I agree with you,
if you only
be,
go in there to try to prove that what your stance is the right stance, then we get nowhere.
But my
which is why
is
we have the polarization
right,
that we have now in our country.
The right way because
you
it's
are,
the way of God.
You are very exemplary of that.
So let me ask, if I agree with
so
you,
do you
would it make
what
sense?
Are you doing to help your viewers get out of this rut of being stuck in belief that, for better or worse, are leading to a lot of destruction in the world?
I don't see that happening.
Well, you're
the
not
only
paying
way I
attention.
See, there are people who they have fear,
you just
they have
you
doubt.
Let out of your mouth that a young child who hangs himself in their bathroom or their bedroom closet is doing so because they have some revelation that the life that they're living, which they're not even living yet, that they're so stricken with ill feelings about themselves that. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that that child doesn't feel loved and accepted,
that's
period.
Not true.
It is very
well,
true.
Not,
you
well,
can't,
it is,
do you know
you,
anyone
let
that's
me,
committed, to,
let me
committed suicide
yeah,
for
I deal
being
with
gay?
Them all the time. But let me tell you this.
In what capacity? To condemn them?
No, let me tell you this, man. Be quiet.
You're not doing it to
hold
be helpful.
On, hold on. What it is, when you're in a fallen state, you have guilt because you're separated from God. And in that guilt, you tend to judge yourself. And you opened up the room for Satan to come in and to deceive you. You know what? Your life is not worth anything. You're a homosexual, or you're drunk, or you're an alcoholic, or you're whatever, right? And so he convinced you to take your own life because you're judging yourself in that fallen state. Because you're wrong, you're separated from God.
Wait, can we...
Do you accept that?
I think we need to bring... Let's bring science into this a little bit in regard to transgenderism, right? There have been actual studies done that look at the amount of gray versus white matter, which is one of the sex differences that manifests itself in our brains, of people who identify as transgender and people who, I guess, yeah, are cisgender. They've actually found that there are some differences in the brains, the neurology of people who are transgender. Now, what that means to me is that, you know, like I think we both agreed on, I have a female brain. What were to happen if there was a brain that was constructed like my own, but in the body of a male? That's, I think, what some people are attributing to transgenderism.
And it happens throughout multiple species.
Right. And so what this means then is that in people who are transgender, they've also found things like an increased rate of suicide. I think it's about 45%. And there's also been an increased diagnosis of things like depression and other issues like that. Now, there have been studies done that look at rates of suicide pre and post-op, whether that changes. They've also done studies that look at the kind of environments that they have, whether the trans individual feels like they are comfortable, secure, maybe passing, and how that affects the way that they, whether or not they would attempt to commit suicide.
If you're more on the end of passing, you're going to be more accepted in society.
Right, and so they've done studies like that.
I believe that, and the reason that is because when you're in that farthest state, you're separated from the tree of life again. And so to be in sin like that, they call it sin, but the farthest state, it affects everything about you.
Right, but I think we both agree that it was a medical illness. Do you think a medical illness can be sin? So you're saying that gender dysphoria is not a medical illness?
Christians
now.
Have tried opposing it for all of this time. Why don't they try a new tactic and try actually accepting it?
No, you
and
should never
we,
stop
and
wrong.
Let's see what humanity looks like then.
You should never stop evil.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Something. So you don't think gender dysphoria is a medical condition? Because in my mind, something can either be a medical condition, which is diagnosable, treatable, and
that's all irrelevant when you're dealing with religious zealots. Like, it doesn't matter what science says about
it.
They just think that they're all liberals anyway.
Are you calling me a zealot?
I'm speaking for people that have similar ideology as you.
I didn't think so.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
The Father State has new merchandise available. Every purchase goes right back to the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mama Mia, hola, y'all. Get off that stage, boy. Quit monkeying around.
It's amazing. The merch is amazing.
It's amazing.
So Donald Trump, the great white hope.
Why do you call him that?
He's orange.
And he's great.
And he's white, yes.
Right. He is a white, conservative, Christian man of power.
Christian, he's never.
Did you vote for the president?
Absolutely not.
Did you?
Oh,
no,
I'm
you can't, you're Canada. Do you support or resist President Trump?
Resist Trump and the conservative Republicans that support him.
Why?
My main reason for opposing Trump, and I haven't always disliked Trump, for the record, he does not fit in at all into the framework of my morality.
I agree.
Which is not
100%.
Based on,
yeah. Thank God.
No. He's a vile individual. He's corrupt. We don't have time to go through the litany of reasons why, but he is not deserving of the presidency of the United States.
Even though you don't live in the United States, do you support or resist the president?
I think overall, I support him. That's not to say that I like every tweet he sends out. It's definitely unchristian to call somebody horse face. I think that goes
why
without
is that?
Saying. Because it's...
She is a porn person. And she,
which
yeah,
he slept
she's
with.
Not an honest person at all.
Of whom
yeah,
he slept
but,
with.
Dude, it's not Christian to name call. We can say, I don't even, yeah. I mean, we can say, like, I don't think this lifestyle is conducive to walking with Christ, but that's a very different thing than calling someone horse face. And as Christians, I think we're called to spread the message with love, right? Anytime we talk about, someone's behavior not being good for them, it should be because we love them, because we are concerned for them and want them to, I guess, live right with God and with themselves, with their neighbors. That's not calling somebody horse face. That's not done with love.
You're not going to ever be able to accept Christ then.
By not calling someone horse face?
He called them liars and dogs.
You can call someone a liar. That's
a bag of bones. He called them a dog and bag of bones, hypocrites.
You're talking about Jesus Christ himself?
Yeah, he called them that. Children of the devil, So
that's condemning sin, which I think we should.
If you think that Trump is wrong, we should condemn sin,
but that's a different thing than calling
someone horse-faced.
He didn't condemn her for her sin. He condemned her because he sued.
Because she's speaking out of the fact that when did he call her a dog?
Would you accept that?
No, because he's calling her a dog for political reasons, not because he disagrees with her lifestyle, which he clearly doesn't, because I don't think he's living a Christian lifestyle. Because he never talked about Christianity until he was running for president.
Can we just keep Christ out? Because
I'm the non-believer defending Jesus.
Well, because Christ was condemning our behavior, A and B, like he was doing
that.
But so
was President Trump.
He's not condemning her behavior because
it's
un-Christian.
She's a lying porn star.
Yeah, but he's condemning her behavior because... She tried to sue him, right? There's a very different.
Well,
it's a very different
too nice.
Thing.
That's why the children of the lie win, and because of nice religion.
Yeah, but like,
that's
what have I said that is like pro sin or anti Jesus? Because I'm not pro sin and I'm not anti Jesus.
But
right?
Your religion
but
is so nice.
What would be the end game for you? What does that look like?
Let me ask you this:
If Christians won, what would that look like?
Wait,
like,
can I ask about Trump? Okay, so specifically about Trump, I support deregulation, right? So small government, I appreciate that he's rolled back regulations on small business.
No matter what the consequences of those deregulations are.
But actually, when it comes to something like black entrepreneurship, it's actually up. I think it's 400%. Yeah. Don't quote me on that.
It's higher than ever.
Right, higher than ever. And when it comes to something like unemployment, lower than ever, even among groups like women, Hispanics, and black people. And I think that's actually really important. I think a lot of these social issues that conservatives love to talk about, we often don't talk enough about the root causes of them. And poverty is a huge contributor to things like crime, even things like drug use. So I think these kinds of policies are actually going to be good, even better in the long term, because we're going to see like a domino effect. People are less desperate. They're not being pushed as much, right? So that's a good thing. And I also appreciate the fact that it's been talked a lot about but never done, is that we are beginning to at least see the possibility of addressing criminal justice reform, which is so sorely needed in the country. Whether that's going to translate into tackling things like prison conditions, I don't know, but at least we're having the conversation now in a way we haven't in a long time. Beyond that, I think it's kind of him and Republicans have kind of punted on something like healthcare. John McCain is no longer with us, but
After eight years, still don't have a plan.
So I agree. They should have had a plan. They should have had something ready to go.
Do you agree with Lauren that the great white hope is making America great again?
No, I do not.
Do you disagree with anything she just said?
I don't disagree with anything that she said, per se.
So if you don't disagree with me, that you agree that the president is making America great again, right?
No, because if we want to talk about things like unemployment rates, I mean, there was already a trajectory. Things were already happening in the country 8 years prior to President Trump.
Oh, you've been listening to
It's not a lie.
You've been listening to the
You can actually do some homework.
No.
And
before
look at
Trump, people, there were part-time jobs.
The end of the Bush administration.
People had to work two part-time jobs for a full-time job. It was a mess.
Right, because guess what? Because capitalism isn't working for everyone.
But it's not true.
Because capitalism isn't working. The principles of free market and trickle-down has not built a middle class in America.
What?
Isn't that what we're all striving for?
You mean
it's for more people in the population to be doing better? Isn't that what all the arguments and debates are about?
And that's what this president is doing, unlike Barack Obama.
But he's not, because...
Lauren, do you agree that
there
Obama
is, not a thriving
is going
middle
down
class.
In history as the worst president that this country has ever had?
I mean, there are presidents who put Japanese Americans in internment camps, so that's... I didn't support a lot
These
of what Obama did, but yeah, I wouldn't say that he's the worst ever.
Who?
I mean, Americans were put into internment camps under other presidents.
So you don't agree that Barack
he's not the
Obama,
worst thing
the
ever.
Fallen Messiah, is the worst president overall.
I also wouldn't say he's the fallen Messiah. No, he's not the worst overall. I don't support him, but he's not the worst.
So if Obama is the fallen Messiah, then that makes Trump what? The rising Messiah?
Yes.
The
Antichrist? The great white hope.
The Antichrist, then?
No, the great white hope.
No, because any man that, and the Bible says it would be a politician.
Are we out of time?
Oh, yeah, of course we're out of time.
Yeah, that was long.
Yeah, it's too real for you, right?
That went by too fast.
You are, I'm really like, wow.
You had fun. Let me ask, did you have fun?
Like, I just really want to know, do you really believe the stuff that you say?
Did you have
or
fun?
Or is it just for entertainment?
Answer my final question.
Can you answer my question?
Yeah,
you haven't answered.
Answer.
You haven't answered. You keep saying that, but you never end up answering.
What's your question?
Do you really believe the stuff that you say?
100%.
What was your, can you just give me a little context? Where did you grow up? Like, what? who raised you? I'm serious. That's a very serious question. I'm very curious.
I grew up in Alabama.
My family's from Birmingham.
I grew up under the Jim Crow laws.
I've heard you say that.
Color signs only, white signs only. I was raised pretty much by my grandparents, my grandfather and grandmother.
Did they hate black people as much as you do?
As a matter of fact, black people loved one another then. They don't love each other today.
I would agree that
black people the state of the black... They have character. Their family was tight.
I agree with you on
unheard
that.
Unheard of. Black people were decent people. They didn't hate white people. And you, so they were decent
That's no longer
people.
The case.
No. That's gone now. And that's why you
Across
people
the
are
board.
Suffering. You people are suffering not because
what
of
do you
racism.
Mean? Are you? I've heard you say you're not black. So what are you?
Well, I'm black on the outside, but white on the inside.
Okay.
So you people are suffering due to the lack of the distrust of the family and the lack of moral character, and not this phony idea.
So by
of
you
racism.
By you making that statement, then are you saying that your Lord and Savior and your God that put you on this earth made a mistake by putting you in black skin?
No, he made me white on the inside.
Like he might have made somebody. Male or female on the inside, but the opposite
that's not
externally?
The same thing.
How is it not?
Listen, that's not the same thing. But I got to ask you this because I'm out of time. Did you have fun?
I had a great time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you have fun?
I had fun, yeah. Right.
Thank you for
spicy
coming.
Spicy morning.
Yeah. And thank you all for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to like,
it's
follow,
nice to
tweet,
you.
You're fantastic.
Subscribe.
Thank you. You too. I'm so glad you came.
Share, comment, and all of that good stuff. We have all kinds of products on the Fall Estate merchandise, so be sure to support it. Every dime goes back into what we're doing. Thank you so much.
Next time on the Fall Estate.
What is the purpose of the Black Student Union at Antelope Valley College?
We are at a PWI, which is a predominantly white institution. The students are not predominantly white. The majority of the students are Hispanic. It's like 65%. But the faculty and staff are like all white. We want to make sure that we are heard.
Heard in what way? And by whom?
Needs. I would say needs.
And what are the needs?
The end goal is for all of us, blacks, white, Mexican, all that, to be right here.
I've noticed that most black men, young and old, are beta males. Beta!
First of all, I didn't even want to go to college, if we're being honest.
You did not want to go to college?
Oh, no.
I'm going Republican. I'm going Republican. Donald J. Trump. This right here is a rally song. Donald J. Trump. This right here is a rally song. Donald J. Trump. Trump is my president. Donald J. Trump. And I'm here to represent. Donald J. Trump. Trump is my president. Donald J. Trump. And I'm here to represent.
Thanks for watching The Fall Estate. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.